Disciples, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah, Jesus said that. The Sermon on the Mount is Matthew's way of introducing Jesus' first and most important teachings. Just as in Luke, Jesus was introduced in the temple and opened up the scroll and quoted from Isaiah, Matthew. And this is the third of our sermons in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew says some pretty challenging things. It's a tough text. I remember wrestling with this when I was a young Christian, fresh out of confirmation and wanting to serve Jesus with all my heart. And I read this text and I thought, are you kidding? Let's see. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you. You see, Jesus is changing perspective with those little words, but I say to you. Because God's people have been doing things one way forever. They've been thinking traditionally one way forever. I mean, for hundreds and even thousands of years. And you get in a rut when you start thinking everybody else is thinking and doing the same things, so it's okay for me to think and say and do the same things that have always been said and done. And then Jesus comes on the scene and says, but I say to you. And he makes it a whole lot more challenging. And yet he's so much more direct in who Jesus is and what Jesus' ministry is about. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. But I say to you, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's a heavy load, so I'm going to try and unpack it a little bit at a time. Because I've been fighting with this text now for, I don't know, a few years. You probably have as well. Have you ever tried to be perfect at something? Anything? Have you tried to perfect something? Whether it's a golf swing, or your work, or understanding a different language. I'm kind of a recovering perfectionist in a lot of ways. And when you try to be perfect at everything, you're perfect at nothing. But I'm going to give you an example. I love playing French horn. When I was in high school, I made the all-state band or orchestra 3 out of my 4 years of high school. So I've been playing French horn since I was 10 years old. I won't tell you how old I am now. Most of you know. Some of you are plotting my birthday. I get that. When I first came here, just about 4 years ago, I went to symphony concert, Knox Galesburg Symphony. And I heard Dr. Faust playing principal horn. And I'm like, wow, this guy is amazing. And I had to go look him up because the name was sort of familiar. Well, he had been the president of the International Horn Society 20-some years ago already. He had written for the International Horn Society magazine lots of technical articles on playing French horn. He's the chair, head brass player teacher over at Western Illinois University. And yeah, he is the principal hornist for the Knox Galesburg Symphony. And I thought, I've got to learn from this person. Because I've been playing horn for 40 years. Okay, cat's out of the bag. And I've been playing in musicals and bands and orchestras and all sorts of things. But I needed to learn from the best. And the best was only 40 miles away. And so now on my day off, just about every Monday, I drive over to Macomb. And I take horn lessons from Dr. Randall Faust. Phenomenal opportunity. I keep telling Amanda, if you have the best nearby and you can learn from them, do it. And so I played for 40 years. And my degree in college was in music performance. But I'm learning stuff from Dr. Faust that I've never learned before. And if you're not a musician, this is going to be absolutely boring, but we work on sound quality, every note. Okay, we can spend a whole hour on 6 notes. We work on timbre, and we work on flexibility, and we work on style. And see, the thing about horn players in an orchestra, it's not about quantity of notes. Horn players sit around for 60, 80, 100 measures of rest, and when they come in, they want to blow your mind with the best sound, the perfect pitch, the best tone. Think about that next time you go to a symphony concert. Okay, brass players sit around for measures and measures of measures, waiting for like 4 notes to blow your mind. And so I'm learning all this stuff from him. But the one thing that he can't do for me is practice. So he can tell, I can tell, how much time I have in a given week to attend to practicing. I get up early in the morning, I practice. Before I go to bed, I practice. Okay? I'm not a professional, but this is just a thing, okay, that I'm just kind of focused on. And here's where I think it relates to the gospel. Jesus says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's not something that we do automatically. That's not like someone who's never picked up a French horn, picks up a French horn, goes to a symphony concert and says, I'll play. It's about learning from the best. And of course, the best is Jesus. So when he says forgive or turn the other cheek, we don't have a lot of human role models. We've got some. But we're not asked to look at other people and say, okay, they're not doing it, so I don't have to do it. We're being asked to look at Jesus. And when he was being nailed to a cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And we practice. It's so easy to dehumanize other people, to villainize people we disagree with. Everybody does it, except Jesus. Except Jesus. He is our teacher, and we are called to follow him, to go home and practice him every day, every morning, every night, every middle of the day. Practice him. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your enemy and hate your neighbor, but I say to you, the hardest thing anybody can say to us, and we don't want to hear it, but Jesus says it. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Was Jesus naive? Did he know? There's all sorts of bad people in the world? Yes, he did. He was living in occupied, Roman-occupied Palestine. He knew what it was to have powers beyond control, dictating what everyday life looked like. He knows everything you are going through. He knows where you struggle. He knows your heartaches. But here's the thing. The word perfect, the Greek isn't exactly the word perfect. It's more like complete. Fulfill. It's kind of that sense when God finished creation and looked back and said, it's good. Be complete in all that God has put in you and that all God has put in you to offer to the world. We can be bigger than the powers of the world. through Christ who strengthens us. I have a colleague who's an Episcopal priest, David Henson. He writes, "I don't try to love my enemies in the hope of changing their hearts, but in the hope of changing mine." Think about that for a minute. I don't try to love my enemies in the hope of changing their hearts, but in the hope of changing mine. Not for their salvation, but for mine. You see, I can justify almost anything if I see you only as my enemy, and I call my anger righteous anger and indignation. He continues, "I am concerned about Christians like me who prefer to talk about turning over tables in the temple but not turning the other cheek. I suspect what we frequently call speaking truth to power is really just a religious cover for being a jerk. I suspect we tend to demonize our enemies because it hurts more deeply to humanize them. It is so much more reassuring to see my enemies as idiots, fools, and morons, because as Jesus says, such name-calling murders them in my mind, and the dead can offer no defense." Jesus called for an end to the law of vengeance. Can we practice that with him? Jesus justifies us before God. We don't justify ourselves. We can never be good enough, strong enough, holy enough, righteous enough. But the love of God that gave us Jesus, our great teacher and role model and friend, walks with us, supports us, knows us, embraces us, and wants us to be complete, even as our Father in heaven is complete. Keep practicing, Jesus. We're going to get a few notes wrong along the way, but we're going to keep practicing. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.